I've got a very specific assignment. I like it when it's like that. It's not going to be like that much longer, and I can tell you'll know why here in a minute. Open up to Romans 15, verse 13, and you can put a marker in Luke chapter 5. We'll be there in just a moment. I really didn't know what was going to happen this morning. I had nothing. Said, Lord, I said, well, Lord, we'll just play one of Dave's old messages. It's all good, right? So just pick one. They're all good. I've been listening to Dave again this week. Thank God for Pastor Dave Roberson. Thank God. But in this morning, he began showing me what he wants. How many knows we're coming into revival? If anything, I believe we're already in the edge waters of it. It may already be ankle deep. But we're going to birth something. That word is important. We're going to birth something supernatural. I started to say that's not been seen since the book of Acts, but it's more than that, because what we're birthing has never been seen. Because that's what he said. He said the revival that's coming is unlike anything that has ever been seen before. Now see, I don't know if that means we're going to walk across the Arkansas River on dry ground. Because man has seen that before, hadn't he? Yeah. Seen the Red Sea split, walk across on dry ground, who knows? Smite the Arkansas, soon, where is the God of Elijah? I don't know what's coming. But that's not far-fetched to me. If we need to, there's no, he wouldn't do it, I don't think, just for show. Although Barber used to say God will show up and show out. Sure, I believe that. He's going to show the world who he is. And I believe that's also part of the reason why the enemy has been beating everybody's brains out with hopelessness. Everywhere you turn, everything, I don't care whether it's political, physical, economical, familical, is that a word? He doesn't care how he brings hopelessness. He doesn't really care how he defeats you. But he's just here to steal, kill, and destroy. See, it's not really you the target, really, you're not. It's revival. That's the target. At all costs, he must stop us. And he's not going to. Now, he is the little g of hopelessness. Because if he can kill your hope, he'll kill your faith. Because without hope, there is nothing for faith to give substance to. Remember Hebrews 11:1? Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. So that's why, especially in this season, he's having me go back and revive some old lessons, even for my benefit, but your benefit as well. There's a series at the website called The God of Hope. It's a garycarpenter.org, The God of Hope series. You can afford it. It's free. I recommend it to you. But it's founded on this verse, Romans 15, verse 13. It says, now the God of hope, who is that? That's our Father. The God of hope. See, most people don't even know him as the God of hope. But he is, the Bible says, that now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace. Now notice, in believing. Remember last week's lesson? Believing begins with a choice. If you haven't heard that one, I recommend it to you. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. Now notice, that you may abound in hope. You mean there's hope and then there's abounding hope. Mm-hmm. How do you get abounding hope? You only get it one way. Notice, through the power of the Holy Ghost. And that word power there is what you think it is. It's dunamis. You mean there's power The Holy Ghost will actually get involved with, he'll bring his power into your hope. How do you think he quickened Abraham and Sarah's dead bodies when it comes to children? They couldn't produce children anymore. How do you think he did it? He had to first give them hope. First thing he did, he had to take Abram out of the tent. Because they've been married for decades. They've been married for decades. They always wanted to have children. The two of them together never had any kids. So in my meditation, I know they moved around quite a bit, and they, in my meditation, they always wanted to have a child, so I imagine there was a crib or a bassinet or something in there that, you know, this is for the baby when the baby comes. I just imagine you've been seeing an empty crib for decades, decades, decades. That's what you've seen, even when you were young and beautiful. Still couldn't even have kids then. Now, what you see in looking in the mirror, Abraham, 99 years old, Sarah, 90 years old. Besides that, Sarah's past the time of the way of women. She's not even ovulating anymore. And we know Abraham's not quite the hot rod he used to be, because Sarah laughed just thinking about having pleasure with this old man. I mean, it's a nice way of putting it, but it lets us know. God said, this will never work. You notice he didn't change their name first. Did you ever notice that? When he gave them hope, it was Abram and Sarai. He didn't have them say it yet. He wasn't having them confess yet. See, okay, I'm getting ahead of myself. Faith possesses what hope first sees. Faith possesses what hope first sees. If you can't see it, you can't possess it. And that is Hebrews 11:1. Now, faith always has two parts. Believe in the heart, confess with the mouth. Remember that from Romans chapter 10? You believe in the heart, and you say with the mouth. Well, the reason God changed their name later was so they could begin possessing what hope had already produced on the inside of them. Hope produces an image. Hope has everything to do with what you see. And it's obvious when God first told them they were going to have a baby, they didn't believe it. It's obvious. Because they both laughed. Sir, you're going to have a child. Abraham laughed. Shall he who is 100 have a child? When Sarah heard it, she was in the tent, but God heard her too. Said she laughed. Both of them. They didn't really believe it when God first said it. See, God had to build an image on the inside of them. He had to build this image. It took a while. You've been looking at an empty crib. You've got an image. I see. I think again about the woman bowed over for 18 years. When you've got something that you've been afflicted with for a long time, you start thinking, well, that's just the way life is. That's the way it's going to be, you know. You start learning to live with it. Well, that empty crib, they've lived with that for decades. They've been married a long time. No doubt they've tried to have children. Well, this is just the way it's going to be. Hopelessness is what led to the big mistake, figuring out a human way to do it. That's why Sarai came up with the idea of Abraham having a child with the servant. What was her name? Hagar? Well, that was a mistake. Ishmael is still giving Israel trouble today. See? Hopelessness was part of what caused that. It's never going to work. So God takes Abram, I'll just focus on the hope. See, he is called the God of hope. Why? Because God's word will paint a new image on the inside of you. He had to take Abram out. He says, you can't be, I got to get you not looking at that crib anymore now, because that's not going to work. There's no power to change what is by looking at what is. It already is. Stop looking at what is. If you just see what is, there's no power to change what is. That's pretty simple, isn't it? You're just going to keep having what is. You got to have a new hope. So God takes him out. Yes, sir. I'm going to go ahead and say this now. I wasn't going to. I was going to save it for a zinger. The church at large is just as dead as Abraham and Sarah's bodies. There's a baby we're to birth. I know its name. Its name is Revival. And it will be as supernatural as Isaac was. It's not something man can produce. It's got to be birthed supernaturally by the power of God. And he's going to need a bride with a hope on the inside. Remember, Hebrews 11:11 says, Sarah also herself. Hello, church. Sarah also herself. We're the bride. Sarah also. The church also receives strength to conceive seed for revival. Because we counted God faithful and are able to do what he promised. He's been painting hope on the inside of us. He says, quit looking at these empty chairs. Stop it. Quit looking at the powerless church. Stop it. And it through, especially through Pastor Bonk, he has been painting a picture, painting a picture, painting a picture. These prophecies, these words from God. This is what I want you to see. This is what I want you to see. He's been painting hope because we're about to birth something that the earth has never seen. Amen. The earth had never seen an Isaac born of a woman pastor. Time of way of women. Never had that happen. Never. Until God, the God of hope, taught somebody, painted a new picture on the inside of them. Then he taught them faith. Faith possesses what hope sees. But you'll never possess it if you don't see it first. Amen. I'm preaching real good today. Hallelujah. I'm preaching real good. Now look at that verse again. Now the God of hope fill you. Fill you. With all joy and peace in believing. Are you going to believe what he's saying to the church now? Abraham had to believe what God was saying to him in his day. We've got to believe what God is saying to us in our day. See, I can tell who you've been hanging around. I can tell who I've been hanging around with. If you've been hanging around with the God of hope, it's easy to tell because you're full of joy and peace. That tells me a lot. I know who you've been hanging. All I got to do is be around you just a little bit. I know who you've been hanging around with. You haven't been hanging around the God of hope. Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Woe is me, so bad. Again, I don't know why this, but I remember when my lovely three daughters that I love more than life, and Angie's here today, here we go again. She's going, oh, not again. Yeah, again. They're just 2 years apart, our three daughters, and so they're all three teenagers at the same time. Pray for any family that has three teenagers at the same time. And they all rebelled about the same time. Now, Angie always said she rebels the least, and I think that's probably true. It got pretty bad, though. You talk about images being painted in parents' minds, knowing that. And, you know, we kept thinking, we didn't raise them like this. They know better than this. But they just, for a season, kind of chose the world, you know, doing what teenagers do. And we didn't know what to do because the devil kept defeating us with this thought, well, they're choosing me. You didn't raise them like this. They know better. And the devil would defeat us. They're choosing me. I have a right to them. And I didn't know how. I didn't know how to get past that. And I don't have the verse in front of me right now, but it's in Isaiah, I think chapter 49. Now, don't hold me to that. But it's the verse where he says, shall the prey of the terrible be delivered? And it says right at the beginning of that, shall the willful captive and the prey of the terrible be delivered? Willful captive. I thought, well, they're choosing him. They're choosing sin on purpose. They become a willful captive. And that was the question. Can they be delivered? The next verse. I will contend with him that contends with thee, and I will save thy children. Amen. Amen. Boy, I'm telling you, he painted an image on the inside of us. We got so excited. Look at this. Look what he said. He himself will contend with that devil. It doesn't matter that they're willful captives. He will contend with that devil that's contending with us. And God himself will save our children. Boy, we got that in us. We talked about that verse. We worshiped for that verse. We made a covenant, Sue and I, between ourselves. We would not say anything contrary to that. Now, we knew what they were doing. You know, it's real easy. You know, somebody comes and before this, I probably would have, before that event, before that verse came alive in us, if you'd asked me, well, how's your girls? I'd say, pray for us. Dear God, they're out in the world and they're running around. They're doing this and doing that. And God, we just pray they don't have a car wreck. No, God. And, you know, we'd have just been calling what is. No power to change what is by saying what is. But see, the God of hope, he used his word and he painted a different image on the inside of us. We saw our God somehow fighting, contending for our children. We made a covenant. We're not going to say anything. I don't care what it is. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care what they are doing. We're not going to say anything other than what this says. So you'd come and say, how's your daughters? Our daughters are the handmaidens of the Lord. They prophesy. They cast out devils. They love the Lord their God with all their heart, all their soul, all their mind, and all their strength. They serve God. They are his handmaidens. They'll do anything you ask them to do. When our children pray, God answers. They lay hands on. How long you want to stand there? We'll just keep talking. Because God had painted a new image on the inside of us. Now, it didn't happen. It didn't change overnight. But it changed. And all of them today are serving the Lord. Have been for a long time too. And the devil didn't kill none of them either. He told me he was, but he didn't. God of hope. He had to paint a new picture on the inside of us. And he used his word to do it. I'm so thankful. How can I ever thank him enough for what he's done for us? It was the same when I had the diagnosis of melanoma cancer. Sue had to put me in remembrance of a promise that he made to me. Years before, a prophecy that we knew was from God. The last line of it is a glorious end that I have for you, my son. Sue said, dying of cancer in your early 40s is not a glorious end. I went, it's like you slapped me across the face with a wet towel. I woke up. I said, that's right. That's right. This thing's not going to kill me. I'm going to come through this. God used his word, painted a different hope. See, faith, you can't possess what you can't see. God knows that. That's why faith is the substance of things hoped for. You've got to see it. And when you really see it, now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying Sue and I weren't around full of faith. How'd he say it? We weren't full of joy and peace all the time during that stretch. Not on the surface. But I got to tell you, deep down, there really was kind of a rock. So I didn't like the circumstance. We weren't happy. See, there's a difference between joy and happiness. And you know, there is. There's a difference. We weren't happy with the circumstances, and they went on for quite a while, several years, to be honest with you. But there was something. He deposited a joy and a peace on the inside of us that was rock solid. We knew. And besides that, we would not speak against it. We just would not speak against it anymore. And sure enough, God did exactly what he said. It's the same thing he did with Abraham and Sarah. First, he had to paint the image. They had to get hope on the inside. Once they had the hope, now I'm changing what you say about yourself. He changed their name so that every time they spoke, they had to, every time they said who they are, they had to say what God had said about them. Sarah means princess. You don't think of a old princess. You think when you say the word princess, you think about somebody young who's going to give birth to the heir. Abraham means I am the father of a multitude. But they had hope. Say, well, he's lying. No, he's possessing hope. He's possessing hope, see. Now, this revival, God has told us quite a few things about it that's coming. We know several things about it. Number one, he's called it a presence. Not presence like Christmas presents. Presence like I am here. Presence. He's called it a presence revival. And with that in mind, now go to Luke 5. And this was the other verse that I had. Luke chapter 5. And verse 17 is actually the verse. And I'm not going to read the whole story because you're very familiar with it. This is the one where they brought the man that had the palsy. He was paralyzed. And they couldn't get in the house because there were so many people even around the door. They just couldn't even get in. So these friends brought this guy. He was one translation said he was paralyzed. One said he had palsy. He couldn't walk. That's why they had to bring him. They brought him on some kind of a stretcher or something. They couldn't get in the house. That's the way it's going to be here, by the way. Going to have trouble getting in. Going to have to get here early. You don't want to have to walk a quarter mile to get to the church. Gary, why are you saying that? You'll see in a minute. Because that's what he said. That's what he said. I've been spending time with the God of hope. So this is that story you're familiar with. That they broke up the tiles. They let him down. Jesus heals him. Take up thy bed and walk. Okay? But the verse that kept going through me this morning was verse 17. And it came to pass on a certain day as he, that's Jesus, was teaching, that there were Pharisees and doctors of the law sitting by, which were come out of every town of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem. This is it. And the power of the Lord was present to heal them. The power of the Lord was present. That's the word dunamis there. The power of the Lord was present. With Jesus, do you think the power to heal came and went? No, it did not. It abode with him all the time. How do you know that? Acts 10:38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. I do thank God for the gifts of the Spirit. I know we're supposed to covet the best gifts. We should be operating in the gifts more than we are. I believe we will be too. But there is a more excellent way. I loved how Alan that day said, what if we had a seminar called Come and Learn About the Less Excellent Way? Well, that just did it for me. Because that's staying immature and operating by the gifts. That's a less, it's a way. It's okay, but it's a less excellent way. I don't want the less excellent way, do you? Let me show you a more excellent way. And that's the love chapter. And that's where you grow up to the maturity of the stature. That's where also you go through the purging. How many of you know there's no self-seeking in Jesus? What I mean is he didn't have an agenda to make himself famous. He didn't care about that at all. He was here to glorify his Father. And that his Father's will be done. Well, as you mature and grow into love, all of that stuff dies in you too. That's called the purging. That's mortifying the flesh, like Alan talked about this morning. So this... would you say when Jesus walked in the room, an atmosphere walked in the room? We were talking yesterday over lunch with some friends about the anointing. See, I don't ever remember Dave, Pastor Dave, ever praying for me where I couldn't feel the anointing of God. I mean, I've been in a lot of prayers with other people, and they meant well. And it's not like you have to feel something. I'm not saying that. And I did have results from some of those prayers, okay. But I'm just saying there was a difference. In fact, Dave didn't even have to lay hands on you all the time. See, he would walk in the room and the atmosphere would change. How many remember the crying days? Remember those meetings? And he'd just walk in the room. People wouldn't even know it. The place would be packed in those days and they wouldn't even know it. But he'd walk out that door and an atmosphere would walk in with him. Crying and weeping would just break out all over the building. People didn't even see him come in. Why? He carried an atmosphere. The Holy Spirit was in him in a way that he's not in a lot of ministers. But I've got a hope for you, because the Lord has still been speaking. Now, I've got three most recent prophecies that's come through Pastor Bronk Flint down in Immokalee, Florida. These are very recent. Two of these were on July 11th, and the last one is July 25th. Now, remember the verse that launched us. The power of the Lord was present to heal when Jesus was in the room, right? All right? Because he carried an atmosphere. He carried the presence. Now, I'm going to read this. See, to me, this is the word of the Lord, no less than when he spoke to Abraham. To me, this is no different than if Jesus was somehow to walk through the wall, walk right over here, take the microphone. I don't know if he would need it. And speak directly, just one on it. I would like for each one of you to see this as him speaking directly to you. And if you're watching this, Jesus speaking directly to you, I absolutely believe it is by the Holy Spirit. See, the Holy Spirit does not speak on his own accord. He doesn't take it upon himself what to speak. What he hears, that's what he speaks. So when you hear him speaking, it's Jesus speaking. It's the mind of Christ. Okay, so this prophecy came July 11th. It's several came that day. And this one's called Carry the Atmosphere. Now he's talking to you. Get your hoper out. Cole asked me one time, can you pretend? All right, pretend today Jesus is standing in front of you. Okay, can you see it like that? And you are qualified, he says. You are qualified. Male, he didn't say you're going to be. He said you are qualified, male and female, to begin to bring forth an atmosphere. This will not be laid on just the fivefold in this last hour, says the Spirit of the Lord. But I am asking you to open up an avenue for me to come. And it will not be just at church. Yes, it must be practiced. You will have to learn this new place. But learn it. Believe about yourself what I am telling you. That you can carry this atmosphere with you. As I have told you, speak the end result. And I am telling you, as you start your day and as you go from place to place, speak about the atmosphere that you're going to create when you get there. Create it in your homes. Create it in your marriages. That's the end of the first one. Say this with me. Lord, I believe, about myself, what you're saying. I carry this atmosphere with me. It's created everywhere I go. I am qualified now. To carry this atmosphere. In the name of Jesus. I choose to believe. What you're saying to me. See, I don't know how else you possess hope. If that doesn't paint hope in you, we're going to put this as a PDF at the website where you can print your own copy. That paints an image on the inside of me. See, I've actually seen Sue do this, and she'll talk to me. Now, she's getting ready to go to a very important, internationally known meeting. It's called Ross Dress for Less. Sue has developed a relationship with all the sales girls there. And they know her when she comes in. She prays for people. But she'll talk. I've heard her say, and not on purpose, but I've just heard her say to me things like, I wonder what God's going to do there today. She's anticipating. She knows she's carrying something with her when she goes in there. But we need to turn that up about a gazillion fold. See? Does that not paint hope? Does that paint a different image on the inside? It does to me. It does to me. And he's saying, possess this. He said, learn it. It's going to take practice, he said. But he said, learn it. Hallelujah. All right. This next one came forth the same day, July 11th. Here he's talking about what to do in hopeless situations. Hopeless situations that you think are absolutely beyond reason of resolve. Hopeless situations are being resolved now, presently. Take hope. I underline certain words as he would emphasize them to me. See and speak the end result. Not just speak and not just see. The way he worded it, see and speak the end result, says the Lord. I am there in your midst. How many of you know when I am shows up, it's over? I am. Who will I say sent me? You tell them I am that I am. I love it. They came to arrest Jesus. And like he didn't know why they were there, he said, who are you after? We're after Jesus. I am. You know, it says, I am he in the King James, but he is italicized. He just said, I am. And they all fell backwards. I personally just love that myself. Anyway, then they still got up and arrested him. I don't think I would have arrested him. So you guys arrest him. I am not going to. You can put me in jail. I'm not arresting that guy right there, I'm telling you. Anyway, I am there in your midst. Watch these things begin to take place on tomorrow, the next few days, the week that is to follow. Not only in witness, but in natural things taking place. Receive. Now the instructions that I get out of there, if you've got any hopeless situations, there for a while, again, I'm just going to go back to the three daughters. It looked hopeless for a while. To be honest with you, it got worse after we discovered that, I believe. I have to go back and get the sequence. See, you're thinking, oh, you're just talking about what teenagers do. You know, I mean, drinking and stuff. Well, they are that. Our youngest one was arrested by the FBI in Mobile, Alabama for interstate transportation of stolen firearms. Is that bad enough for you? And my youngest little baby was in that old 100-year-old jail up in Jay, Oklahoma. Had a metal bed fastened to the wall and they fold it down to sleep on at night with about a 2-inch little mattress on it. For years, she couldn't eat anything that had macaroni in it because that's all they fed her every day. One of the hardest days of my life. We could have got her out for about $2,000 bail. We could have got her out. Went up there, she was saying all the right words with her mouth. I'm so sorry, but the Lord had me look in her eyes and there was no repentance. Just sorry she got caught at that stage. And the Lord said, don't you get her out. Now, I did go have a talk with the sheriff after I left her. And I just plainly told him, I said, listen, if my daughter gets hurt in here, you and I are going to have trouble. You being the sheriff or not, I just want you to know, you better take care of my girl. Nothing better happen to her. One of the hardest days of my life to walk out of there and leave her there. Best thing I ever did. God knows what he's doing. You have to listen to God. You cannot be an enabler. It took, I don't remember now, another 30 days or so before something broke in that girl. something. God finally got through the walls of defenses in her soul, and even she understood my way is not working. And she really, really had godly sorrow. And from that point on, God started turning the whole thing around. That still took maybe 6 months to a year from that point before it really turned around. But I thank God that he had painted an image on the inside of us. We were not allowed to speak opposite. We chose not to speak opposite to what God had said. And sure enough, God did exactly what he promised. Hopeless. There's no such thing as hopeless with God. If you don't believe that, ask Lazarus. It's too late, Lord. He's dead. By now he stinketh. It's been 4 days. He said, did I not say if you could believe you'd see the glory of God? I am the resurrection. I am the life. Walked to the edge of the graveyard, and now I know why he had to say his name. If he hadn't have said Lazarus, if he'd have just walked up to the edge of that graveyard and said, come forth, all of them. Lazarus, come forth. Hallelujah. There's no such thing as hopeless with him. All right, now this third one, last one for today. The hour is coming, and now is, says the Spirit of grace, that every service and everything that you've done before in the past will be rearranged and changed by my Spirit. Now we have a command. A two-word command. You ready? Expect change. Did you hear that? Expect change. As I meditate on that, it makes me, I can't wait to get here for the next service. What's he going to do? What's going to happen this time? When the fullness of it comes, it'll be, how many blind eyes is he going to open today? How are we going to help people get to the altars when it's already so full? Healing's taking place in that part of the room. Deliverance taking place in that part of the room. And it's not just the fivefold. It's all of you. I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh, says the Lord. So he says, expect change. Ask for change. Let's do that. Father, right now we are asking for this change. Father, we know, birth this thing, Lord. We are here to be pregnant with your revival. We're wanting to birth this thing. We're asking for change. You said ask. We're asking. Then he says, seek for change. Well, seeking is a little different. You got to spend time with him. Then he says, he that asks will find. The one that is knocking, the door will be opened unto him. Know this. Know this. We need to know this. That it is my utmost desire to give you change in the Spirit, says the Lord. Well, I want him to have his utmost desire. I told him again, I tell him this all the time, almost every service now. I said, Lord, if I'm the one in the way, I'm willing to be out of the way. I'll come home if that's what, I mean, whatever it takes. I'll step down. I have no agenda but yours. I don't care at all. Just, I want you to have your way. Doesn't matter to me at all. I want this revival. I want it to be here. That's all. I really care. I'm not living really for anything else. Sue and I don't have any vacation. Vacations are fine. What I mean is we have no... All we want is revival. That's really it. We just want revival. I want to see it. I want to see it. But I don't have to be the head of nothing. I don't care. The old is done. It is passed away. Those things which are coming your way by my Spirit will be a continual awakening in my Spirit. I don't even know what that means. I really don't know what that means. A continual awakening. I know what awakening is. I was asleep and now I'm awake. But if you're already awake, what's a continual awakening? I believe it's something new. Something new. Something new. Something I haven't seen before. I don't know. Expect my change in every service, says the Spirit of grace. And give me worship for that change. So let's do that. Father, we worship you right now. We expect change in every service. We worship you, Lord. We glorify you, Lord. We have no agenda. No agenda at all, Lord. We expect this change and we worship you for your change. Have your way. That's all we want, Lord. Have your way. Have your way, Lord. Have your way. Hallelujah. Now say it with me. What has been, is not what shall be. What has been, is not what shall be. All right, now, last service or two, he had me prepare a confession called Prune to the Core. Remember that? Now, just in case you weren't here, and this one also we're going to put beside today's message also, just to make it easy for you if you want to download and print it. But he gave a prophecy in 2018 at the October conference, again through Pastor Bronk. I might have been the last service, I think it was. And boy, did he prophesy. I don't have that prophecy in front of me, but what he told me in this season was to take that prophecy and make it into a now present tense confession. Why? To paint hope on the inside of us. This is what shall be. Say it with me. This is what shall be. What has been is not what shall be. This is what shall be. What God has said is what shall be. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right. So let's just say it after me. Or let's all say this together. It's the prophecy made into a present tense confession. Many people bring the glory in the presence of God.
Many people bring the glory in the presence of God.
With them now.
With them now.
The saturation of His glory.
The saturation of His glory.
That He brought through one.
That He brought through one.
He now has placed upon many. God has pruned the root.
God has pruned the root.
Back all the way to the core.
Back all the way to the core.
So He can bring it forth as a green tree.
So He can bring it forth as a green tree.
In a dry and thirsty land.
In a dry and thirsty land.
We are the plantings of the Lord.
We are the plantings of the Lord.
We are trees of life.
We are trees of life.
We glory in His presence. It is no longer just one who carries His presence.
It is no longer just one who carries His presence.
But we are many plantings.
We are many plantings
that have come into the fullness.
That have come into the fullness
of what we have been planted for.
Of what we have been planted for.
Again, now massage your hope. Massage your hoper. It's gotten dry and crusty from non-use over all these years now, see? You gotta see something now. You gotta see something different than what you've been seeing. See this, say,
in this house,
not a seat is empty.
Many stand against the walls.
Many crowd the altars.
The services are unlike any
we have ever seen before.
Sound doctrine is continuing to be laid.
And the training seems tough at times.
But on the other side of the training
is an equal outpouring
of His glory
and His presence.
So strong,
we're not able to stand in the house.
Not one leads,
many lead.
Because of the presence He has placed upon them.
And because of what they're doing in this time of pruning.
In one part of this physical house.
While some are being healed.
Others in another part of the auditorium.
Others in another
other part of the auditorium
are being delivered and set free.
His glory falls.
His presence comes.
And all will be kept in order in these last days.
A presence and a sweeping of His presence
is in this house.
This season of pruning
has been just as valuable
as any season we thought was glorious in the past.
That which has seemed like a dry and thirsty land
has become a river of life.
That which was pruned back in the Spirit,
and even in numeric quantity,
has changed.
We rejoice that we did not resist the pruning,
but we stepped into it.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Now, Sue and I'm telling you, hopelessness kept trying to come back on us because we kept getting reports with our daughters all the time. Bad reports, things.
So we would have to, on purpose, go back to that scripture. Say it again. Read it again. We would spend time seeing our daughters the way they are now, not the way it was then.
We're going to have to do the same thing. God didn't take Abram and Sarah just out one time.
I believe they went out night after night after night. This is how our seed shall be.
Because they went from laughing, not believing it, to what Romans 4 says.
Romans 4 says that he came to the place where he was strong in faith, giving glory to God, who against hope, there was no natural hope, believed in hope, so that what God had promised, he would actually have. So he was strong in faith, giving glory to God. He considered not his own body now dead, nor yet the deadness of Sarah's womb, but he was fully persuaded that what God had promised, God was able to perform.
God has made us some promises here. And I believe it's no less a word from God than he gave to Abraham.
This is our starry night. This is the image that he's painting in our hope. And our job is to possess it by faith.
That means we got to spend time going out on the starry night, if you'll allow me, and letting this fill our hope.
And for God's sake, stop talking bad.
What did he just say?
What did he just tell us?
What did I just tell you?
Speak the end result.
How's things at the prayer center?
Every seat is filled. There's standing room around the walls. The altars are filled. We got healings going on in one part of the auditorium. Deliverance going on in another part of the auditorium. Every service is new and different. It's like we've never seen before. That's how you talk.
That's how you possess.
He made Abraham do it. Didn't give him a choice.
Well, he did give him a choice because Abraham could have disobeyed. Thank God Abraham didn't.
I'm telling you, Abram, you're no longer Abram.
From now on, you say, I am the father of a multitude.
Now, to the world, it's just flat lying.
It is.
How can you say you're the father of multitude when you don't even have one child, you and your wife together? How can you say that?
Because that's what God said.
That's what God said. He gave me a hope. And he told me what to say.
That's what I say is how I possess the hope.
That's the truth.
That's how you do it.
And God has given us specific,
I got to say, they're fairly easy instructions.
Fill your hope with this. See what I've shown you. Let me paint this image on the inside of you. Now don't say anything else. Speak the end result.
I like how he said it in that one. See and speak.
Say it with me. I see
and I speak
the end result.
I see
and I speak
the end result.
Because I am told me to.
I am told me to.
See?
No different I am than the one that's speaking to Moses at the burning bush.
Glory to God.
Moses had a hard time believing it too.
God understands that.
But we've been given specific instructions.
I'm going to run through it one more time. Listen, we are the bride of Christ, and we are to birth something for our husband. He has impregnated us with his plan. We are already pregnant with revival. I believe we're coming to birth now. I believe we're coming to birth. And it's as supernatural, this revival. It's not something you can schedule. You don't call in an evangelist and have 2 weeks of meetings. It's not that kind of thing at all. No, this is just as supernatural as Isaac. This revival cannot be done by man. It has to be done by God. The same way Isaac had to come supernaturally by God, it cannot be done any other way. He has given us simple, specific instructions at this stage how to birth this. He says, don't see anything else. Don't say anything else. How did he say that one? He said, believe about yourself what I am telling you. You can carry this atmosphere with you. The atmosphere he's talking about is that power to heal. It's the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Why are we called the temple of the Holy Ghost? Why did Jesus say it's better for you that I go away? Because if I don't go away, the Comforter will not come to you. And now I'm saying it like this. The God that's on the inside of me, he'll never be able to live on the inside of you. But if I go, I will send him unto you. We're about to birth something supernatural. He gets all the glory. We're just the bride. But the bride is the one that delivers the baby. And he's told us exactly how to do it. Fill your hope with this. And then say what I said. And we will have this revival. I'm done. When you're done, you're done. That's it, okay? That's it. You got it? Now, again, we're going to put both of these three prophecies. And they're also at Bronk Flint. If you go to bronkflint.org, click on the prophecies button, and it'll take you to the page, and you just scroll down. The newest ones are at the bottom of the page, and these are the last three. Unless he spoke today. God might be given more instruction today. Gary, how often do you check there after every single service? See if God said something new. Hallelujah. Now, Alan is absolutely, it was another Picasso Rembrandt message this morning about God going to quicken our bodies one of these days with a new glorified body that comes out of the new nature. It's our, the DNA, Dave taught that too, the DNA of our glorified, our glory bodies, whatever you call it, our new bodies, the DNA is already in our new nature. And God will bring it forth. But listen, when it talks about Abraham had to believe that God quickens the dead, he wasn't thinking about no resurrection. He was thinking about his dead body and Sarah's dead body. And he had to believe for a resurrection that God would do something supernatural to so Sarah could ovulate again. And so he could be more of the man he used to be again. So that this baby could be born. Now listen. That same Holy Spirit that did something physically in their bodies to quicken them is able also to quicken us. I don't care how old we are. I don't care how old we are. And Sue and I, we have been talking to our bodies. I know we're going to get a glorified one day. I absolutely 100% agree with that. But I believe in the kind of quickening Abraham had to have. Now, we have told the Lord that we're really not wanting another baby. Not a physical baby at this age. We appreciate the ones we have. Okay. But, okay. But we are wanting a baby. But I want to be, we got to be physically fit. We got to be physically able. I need to stand up straight like a man should be. And all I got to do is look at Jesus to know the will of God. Every time he saw anybody, like the woman bowed over, she went, that's not God's will. Straighten that girl up. The guy with the withered hand, stretch forth your hand. The guy paralyzed, take up your bed and walk. The will of the Father is that our bodies work. Amen. That the blind see, the lame walk, the deaf hear. That we have good energy. And that these services, dear God, if you ever go to Africa, you better be ready to do 4-hour services. They expect nothing less.
I went to Korea that one time. They had me do 30 services in 10 days. I was already 56. So praise God. As a young man then, anyway. But my mother tells me I'm only 74. Moses' ministry started at 80. 40 years in Egypt. 40 years in the wilderness. Tending sheep. Ministry started when he's 80 years old. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you that you are the God of hope. Oh, I got to read it one more time. Romans 15:13, if you want to mark it in your Bible. Father, you are the God of hope. You fill us with all joy and peace in believing. Father, based on what you've given us, we abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Father, we're going to see what you've told us to see. We are going to say what you've told us to say. Father, we're good wives. We're faithful wives. We're in delivery now. And Father, this baby of revival, it's about to be birthed. We're faithful. We love you, Lord. And you are going to have, this baby will be seen in the earth. In Jesus' name, if you agree with that, say amen. Amen.